Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. Hi, besties.
Hi, besties.
How's everyone doing? We are doing another Keeping Up with the Come Up today.
Yes.
And I'm going to be so serious, I don't even know what part we're on anymore. we'll have to look at that in post because we think it's five. But, you know, we love to yap. So
Right. We're
pretty much perpetually
Right. Yapping.
And we thought today that it would be really interesting for us to discuss a couple of different things. First of all, we want to talk about some things that are plaguing the Gen Zers of the world and some of our perspective on that, and particularly how that's affecting our Toledo region Gen Z folks. And then, you know, one of the big criticisms that we get being a part of Gen Z is that we don't often self-evaluate and see what we need to work on. So we're going to be having a little bit of a debate about some of the criticisms that we receive from other generations and what we think we need to work on. And then we're also going to discuss with you the young professional changing landscape, because I think as each generation moves into the workforce, things begin to change and grow in different ways. And I think Gen Z is no exception. We've been doing a lot to kind of change the way that the workforce looks today.
Yeah, absolutely.
So first, let's start with all of our problems.
What's plaguing you?
What is plaguing you? Well, I would say, you know, cost of living. Cost of living, right off the bat.
It's high.
It's really high right now.
So in Toledo right now, according to the Economic Research Institute, for just a single person, it's estimated you need $1,600 a month up to $1,900 per month just to cover baseline expenses, rent, groceries, you know, utilities, all the the basics.
That's not even talking about, like, you know, the fun things in your life or any, you know, going out to dinner, or if you want to go do professional development and need to fork over some money for that. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just baseline.
Just baseline to be comfy. And honestly, too, Toledo is one of the, like, most affordable places to be. So
it's hitting everywhere really hard right now. Cost of living is a conversation that every generation has, but it is very different now than it was for our parents' generation, particularly with, like, home ownership, you know? And we talk a lot about that because Libby and I live together, and we've lived together the entire time we've done this podcast, but we also now live with two other people. We have roommates, because what's really interesting for us is we evaluated the cost of living. We looked at, okay, we are living in a two-bedroom apartment right now and we're doing pretty okay, but if we want to save money and live a lot more comfortably, then we will probably need to make some changes. So we ended up finding a place where we were able to split the cost four ways, and that's just a little bit of the reality of the situation right now. Finding roommates, looking at alternative solutions for having that $1,600 to $1,900 to spend each month.
Right. It's a lot, but we're getting through it. But just thinking back to, like, my parents, like, they were homeowners by 21.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I can't imagine.
100%. I mean, I talk about this all the time with my dad. He had two kids and a wife at the age of 19, or he had one kid and a wife at the age of 19, and he had his own house.
Yeah.
And I always just think to myself, you know, and that was in the time he wasn't yet in baseball, so he didn't really have a lot of money to just be thrown around.
Yeah.
And it just baffles me that even now, where I feel like I am making a comfortable wage and being able to, you know, afford a lot of things in my life, I still cannot even dream or fathom of home ownership.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I know. My mom was a teacher, so educator salary, and my dad in restaurant, like, middle management, so
it's
a lot different.
It's entirely different. It really is. And so I think one thing that our generation has done well is we've gotten good at coming up with different solutions for problems like this, particularly cost of living ideas.
Absolutely. The side hustle, the freelance work.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I don't think you'll meet a single Gen Z person who does not have a little side hustle going on to make an extra little cheddar cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know me and Libby always have a little side hustle. But seriously, it is definitely definitely a big issue right now. And another big issue that we talked about a lot with our last guest, Jayden Jefferson, was AI.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly how that's affecting the workforce, because, you know, a lot of the complaint is AI is coming for our jobs and AI is doing all of this stuff. Well, yes, we evaluated a lot of that with Jayden and how AI is definitely plaguing the workforce in that way. But I think what we don't often talk about is the way that AI is impacting our critical thinking.
Yeah.
And we talked about this, especially in terms of media literacy with Jayden, but you know, between us, I think we have a lot of conversations about how we are watching people's critical thinking dwindle. Mm-hmm. And that's not particular to Gen Z.
No, it's not. But it is, I think a lot of the other generations kind of look to us for that, like, tech support, where it's like, oh, you know what's going on. You're up with AI. Can you tell me how to do it? And then it's like a quick fix. And then you're no longer kind of thinking through, can I write this myself, or can I send this email myself?
It's funny, like my parents always do that, the tech support thing, you know, and then they'll say to me, okay, but teach the man to fish, right? So they'll sit there and they'll say, okay, so you are opening, I mean, even if it's something as simple as when I was like 10 years old, I taught my mom how to make a PowerPoint.
Right.
And now that diva is so good at PowerPoints, okay, let me tell you what. But at first she had no idea what to do. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, I could just make this all for you, right? But what I'm going to do is actually teach you how to do it yourself so that you don't just solely rely on me. That's the component that we're missing, where people don't always have their young Gen Z kids to be like, hey, help me with tech support. So they're going to AI and saying, hey, I don't know how to do this for me. But instead of teaching the man to fish, you're just throwing a bunch of fish at the man and then just saying, go on your way. Goodbye. Right. Come back to me when you need some more fish.
And it's changing so fast and we don't really exactly know where it's headed next or what will happen. So having to be able to adapt and keep up with that, I do feel like being Gen Z, a lot of that is kind of put onto us.
Absolutely. Well, and we go back and forth too on, you know, the ethics of it all and the environmental impact of it all. And then we also are looking at this without any sort of federal regulation. I mean, they're in talks right now and trying to figure out some path forward. But all of the talks right now are completely hypothetical, and all we have is just kind of a bunch of different systems of generative AI that are running out there that there are no control over, that there aren't really particular people who are in charge of anymore. So, you know, who owns AI? Who is running it? Who is doing all of this stuff? There is still that human component that needs to be answered, and I think it's something that, especially with the way that cost of living looks and the way that the next plaguing piece that we're going to talk about is the job market.
Yeah.
I think the way that both of those look right now, AI is something that is particularly scary and threatening for young people in their future. But I think what is the disconnect between the older generations is that it is something that can take away having to go to their younger peers and saying, okay, what do I do?
Especially with the environmental impacts, this is kind of a grim way to look at it, but we will be on the earth the longest of the workforce generations right now. So it's like we will have to live with those impacts longer.
And then flip it, right? So look at Gen Alpha. So the generation right after us, who they've grown up with AI. They when they have started using technology and are sentient enough to understand technology, they are just immediately going to AI. And we had one of our close friends recently was telling us about how her students, she's a teacher, and her students will come up to her and they'll say something as simple as, okay, I don't have a piece of paper at my desk that I was supposed to have. And then she looks at them and she says, okay, what are you going to do about it? And they just stare at her, deer in headlights. And it's like that critical thinking component is so crucial. I mean, you have to problem solve. You have to learn how to problem solve for yourself. And what I worry about is that the future generations are not going to have to work as hard to solve their own issues and problems because they are reliant on this type of technology. It's very, very nerve-wracking.
Absolutely.
And if that wasn't enough for you, let's take a look at the job market. Now, I know we talk a lot about how the job market is changing and evolving over the years, and especially as different industries, you know, grow or die off or change. But what's really interesting is I was reading this study at Forbes, because we've talked about on the podcast how with Epic, we work really hard to try and place young professionals into jobs, fellowships, internships, mm-hmm. et cetera. So I was looking at this study on Forbes. There are 8.2 million young people who are seeking internships. That's students, that's recent graduates, et cetera. Only 3.6 million wow. were able to find internships out of 8.2.
That's insane. Less than half.
Yeah, when you look at that. And I mean, not only that, but then you have to look at the fact that in the past few years, like 1 to 3 years, postings for jobs and internships have decreased by 17.5%. So it's like we're seeing some sort of dissonance between mm-hmm. the way that job postings have decreased and then the way also that these young people are not able to find these jobs. Mm-hmm. Then we're also seeing people who are veterans in their industry being laid off because of budget cuts or right. different things happening in changing industries, of course. But then those people are the ones who are then getting these entry-level jobs that our generation and the generation right before us are seeking. Mm-hmm. So then, of course, they're going to get those jobs because they're more qualified and they need the work, right? But at the same time then, where are our young people getting their experience, mm-hmm. getting their work? And you know, I think there's this misconception that young people don't want to pay their dues. Mm-hmm. But how can we pay our dues if there is no avenue for us to seek that out? Yeah.
And if you've ever looked at job postings, it's always 3 to 5 years experience. Yes. It's always you need that real world experience. The entry level positions just don't exist anymore.
And here's what I'll say. I mean, relating this back to AI, right? So I, in my college years, I had some great internships that I was way underqualified for, underqualified. And I loved my time doing those internships, would never have gotten them if the market was the way it is now, where AI is the one reviewing a lot of mm-hmm. those applications, because they're going to see, okay, she's still this year in school and it requires that you are a senior in this in school mm-hmm. instead of a sophomore, or that you have this level of experience versus this. But there are a lot of companies and people who appreciate the human element and want to take the chance on young people. Mm-hmm. And then if that barrier exists in that HR setting, what are we going to be able to do and how can we connect?
That's a great point. It is definitely a changing landscape of how you can even fill out a resume yeah. when it is now being reviewed by AI instead of a human. You need a completely different set of qualifications.
I mean, I saw recently criteria. There's a local guy who's teaching a class on how to fill out a resume so that AI will appreciate it more.
Yeah. It's a totally different skill set.
Totally different skill set. It's incredibly fascinating in such a dark way for mm-hmm. me. But I think we do a really good job on this podcast about evaluating a lot of external factors that are impacting Gen Z. But I think sometimes, especially other generations, have the criticism that we are not as good at self-evaluating.
That's fair.
And so I think what Libby and I want to do in this next piece is kind of take some of the criticisms that we've heard about our generation and what we might not be doing to help ourselves and debunk some of those for people. So first part of that is a lot of people say that Gen Z finds it hard to take accountability and have hard conversations.
Yeah.
Now, Libby and I are a testament to this. How many hard conversations do you think in the years that we've been best friends? How many hard conversations do you think that we've had? Like, many.
Yeah.
We go through it. Yeah, we have lots of changing things and different factors that go on in our lives that make us evaluate not only our relationship to each other, but our relationship to work and life and everything that we do in our
It's a part of life. You have to be able to do that.
And I think that the accountability and hard conversation piece is missing because people aren't seeing it more in person. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the time people have those hard conversations and take that accountability for themselves via text.
Sure.
Or via
text or email.
Yeah. Like taking that on in a space that's more the technology space mm-hmm. rather than taking it on in the in-person space.
And I appreciate that more because I think you can take a little bit more time to have more intention with your words mm-hmm. and to really, you know, reflect and have that and type it out rather than just, oh, you're caught in the moment. Let's really quickly have this hard thing. And then I say something I didn't really mean because yes. I didn't get to think through it. And so I think it's just a different approach that maybe other generations don't necessarily understand.
For sure.
And then I think when you are going to try and have those hard conversations with, like, let's say your boss or, you know, a different superior colleague, it's not met with that same kind of understanding always. I can understand where they're coming from and why they think that, but it's almost like two different playing fields.
Yes, it really is. I think when we're looking and evaluating the hard conversations at work, some things that have been really helpful for us are practicing the conversation with each other or mm-hmm. with someone that we trust before we go in and do that with our coworkers or our boss. Mm-hmm. I think when we're looking at this in terms of each other or our peers, what is helpful for us usually is that we have the initial conversation via text where it can be like we're bringing up this issue, we are carefully plotting out how we want to go about it, and then we debrief that conversation in person. Mm-hmm. So that way we are having an actual resolution that doesn't just come through with our verbiage on text where tones, yes, I mean, let's look at the other side of this. Yeah. Tones can be misconstrued, sure. Of course. Things can go awry. But if we are honestly evaluating stuff in person after we've already had this precursor conversation, it's more of like a two-step process than replacing the in-person connectivity.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It doesn't necessarily work for everybody. But it does work for us,
yes,
for sure.
That's our advice, definitely. and I would say, you know, a big piece of that we kind of start to getting into is also just being able to advocate for yourself, you mm-hmm. know, in those professional settings yes. and also in your friendships as yeah. well. And to, you know, set your boundaries. That's so important. And yes. I think that word gets thrown around a lot. It's a kind of a buzzword right now. But it really is so important.
Well, and we are very good about having these discussions about the difference between setting boundaries and not showing up for people.
Right.
Right. Because I think a lot of people are quick to say, oh, here's my boundary. But that's actually just like not being a good friend versus like, you know, if you are just tired or really worn out or just need some space, like that is different than, you know, oh, I'm not coming to your birthday because I just don't really feel like it and I need to set my boundary mm-hmm. or, you know what I mean? Like, I think that people kind of misconstrue the two, but if you're able to discern what is an actual boundary versus what is the buzzword and you just kind mm-hmm. of quote unquote protecting your peace, but you're actually not being a great friend, then you'll be able to better
differentiate. Yeah, and I would say that looks different generationally too, because being tired and worn out, I would say for older generations, probably doesn't always count
right.
as like a real excuse or a real reason. It's like I would say,
pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah, and get through it. It could be. That's obviously a generalization.
Yeah.
But I would say that could absolutely be misconstrued.
Absolutely. And then I think when we're looking at other misconceptions, a lot of people are very critical about the work ethic and company loyalty element mm-hmm. that people of our generation have. So I think one thing that our generation has started to do that is separate from generations before us is kind of seeing through some of the more cookie cutter capitalistic models mm-hmm. of employment. At the same time, there are a lot of things that our generation doesn't understand about the system that is in place. And there are kind of two avenues, in my opinion, that you can take. One, which is working within the system, and one that is working with outside of the system. So, you know, when you're going outside of the system, that's great. You can rebel. You can do all of that. There are parameters that are in place that you'll need to kind of follow if you take that path. When you're working within the system, though, there is an element of understanding that comes with that and these corporate entities that exist and how you can best navigate those. The advocacy component comes in there, the critical thinking component, accountability. But when you're looking at that, you are always having to think, how can I change this for the better? Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's become really difficult for, I think, people who are of our generation to separate the feeling of wanting to make a huge, big change within the way that some of the corporations are separating the work from the people. And then also like trying to build up our careers and work within a system that already exists. So that is definitely something that I think is a larger conversation.
Yeah.
But I don't know that older generations maybe quite understand the full scope of our generation's hardships that we are facing and how when we enter the workforce, it's a little bit more difficult for us to stomach some of the things that they've been able to stomach because they also had different sets of circumstances externally that right. helped them along their career paths.
Right.
All that to say, though, the workforce is changing.
Yeah.
It's not just stagnant.
Mm-hmm. It's changing a lot. Just from COVID, we've seen so many changes in the way that, you know, just your day-to-day looks, the hybrid model, something as simple as that.
I mean, we've even talked about before on the show the accessibility of your outfits and the accessibility of the hybrid model, like you said. But it's like, you know, we joke that the more casual we dress for work or the more that we try to incorporate fashion and comfort into our style, we're changing the workforce one piece of clothing at a time. But it really is. It's the accessibility piece. It's advocating for yourself, like you mentioned. We talk about how media literacy is more important than ever, and being able to parse through what is a good source for you to follow versus what is maybe a harmful source for you to follow. That is really crucial to navigating the workplace. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're looking at those applications and different job boards, how can you best navigate those? And your media literacy component comes in there for sure.
And I also think another way too, I think for Gen Z and the way that we're approaching the workplace, we want to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
We want to find more than just work. We want to find something that feels full of our passion, that we can,
yes,
you know, feel good about what we're doing. And I don't think that's always been the case.
Yeah, I mean, you hear the adage of like, you know, you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our generation is truly taking that to heart and saying, you know, we want to find things that fulfill us. And even if that's, you know, working a certain job and doing a side hustle and then finding a way to make the two merge.
Yeah.
But we're hustling to get there for sure. And the other component to that is forging our own paths.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot more people of our generation becoming entrepreneurs.
Many of our guests have talked about this, where they're combining their passion with, you know, what brings in the money, and seeing them just sprout and grow and make their own path. It's so special.
It's inspiring. It really is. And we've talked about too how I think boomers and the Gen X had kind of like a certain path that they were meant to follow, right? So like, you know, you do all of the steps. You go to college, you get a job, you get a house, you get married, all of this stuff. But then millennials in the recession, mm-hmm, they kind of faced a different changing path where it was no longer as accessible to follow in the path that their parents did. So then it's like changing and feeling like you're in this perpetual limbo of never quite reaching what you were supposed to, quote unquote, reach. And then I think Gen Z is kind of the first to break that pattern.
Yeah.
And take this.
Just throw it out the window.
Yes. I mean, we're taking this and we're like, okay, we don't need to necessarily go to college and then get the job and then get the house. Like, we can not go to college. We can live with seven people in a house and have a good time and still feel fulfilled. We can really just change the way that looks. And I think part of that is being young and being in our 20s. But another part of that is just the way that our generation is starting to change our external factors and environment.
And it'll be really interesting to see where that continues to go.
And, you know, I always have a really nice time talking to you about stuff, but I do feel like that we should probably get a guest on, you know,
yeah,
like we usually have a guest and keeping up with the come up is fun, but like maybe we should have somebody. And I think it might be too late to just call.
Yeah, I know.
Up
it's kind of
know?
Late, but I don't. Do you think
maybe
should
we should?
Yeah. Should we ask?
Okay, we should ask him. Chris, would you want to be our...
Am I going to jump in now?
Oh, it's Chris, you guys. It's our amazing, incomparable, incredible executive producer, Chris
nice.
Piper.
You're too nice.
I cannot believe that we are finally getting the man, the myth, the legend.
Now, I've been on your podcast before.
Yes,
because we did the best of movies. Or
yes, but yes. We've never gotten such an in-depth conversation as we're going to be able to have with you today, which is so exciting.
Let me get the mic adjusted here so I can chat with you guys What do you want to know?
Well, you know, Chris is from the Gen X era, and we are from the Gen Z era. So we thought it would be really fun to have Chris on to not only give our listeners a little bit of a background on him and what he does here at WGTE and how we've been working with him on the show, but then also talking a little bit about our generational gap and things that we can both do on both sides of the coin to bridge that generational gap.
Yeah.
So Chris, go ahead and introduce yourself. Talk about what you do at WGTE.
I just can't believe we've been doing your podcast for like 2 years now. 2.5 years. Somewhere around there, yeah. So I've been with WGTE since 2003. Yes,
wow.
That's given my age, you know, Gen X, you know. And I've gone through many roles here, and I wear many, many hats here at the station. So I first signed on as an operations coordinator.
Awesome.
I just kind of oversaw stuff in radio. Mm-hmm. And then that moved on to like production. And then I became radio operations manager, where I oversaw everything in radio. And then a couple years ago, I took on the podcasting manager, and then it kind of developed into a more digital media, into a streaming services position as well. So since I've been here, you know, I've created a lot of things. I've created Voices Around Us, and within 3 years, we put together 18 different podcasts, community podcasts, one of your guys being one of them. So, and then, of course, I've taken on the local thread. Mm-hmm. And have overseen some of the streaming services here at the station. So a little bit of everything. I really like the behind the scenes
thing. Yeah.
I used to be, years ago when I first started radio, I was on the air, had mm-hmm. some shows, and I don't miss that. I don't miss being in front of the mic anymore.
Spinning
I really
the hits
don't.
With Chris Piper.
I used to do an oldies show at one station, and I loved it. But I don't see myself doing that right now, because my job right now is behind the scenes. That's what makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to make you guys flourish, that makes me happy. Because
it
when
makes
you guys
us happy
succeed,
too.
When you guys succeed, that's when I'm happy.
Well, and not only that, and I know you treat all of your podcasts with such reverence, mm-hmm. and you are such an incredible editor, but the way that you uplift young people mm-hmm. and provide a voice, I mean, the reason that Libby and I even have this podcast at all is because when we came in to interview another host of a different podcast, Chris suggested to us that we pitch an idea for Voices Around Us. And seriously, the fact that he saw that in us, that he took mm-hmm. the chance, that he advocated for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just means the world. Like, it's truly incredible.
Yeah. Well, I know I have known you, Riley, for a while.
Yes.
So, and I know your mom pretty well. So that's when I knew you guys came in here and interviewed one of the other podcasters. I knew I could see something. I was like, do you guys want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
and it worked out. And,
yeah,
and I put
absolutely.
You guys through the training sessions. It took a while. It took a couple of months. And here you are today with a great podcast.
I know. It's not only an incredible experience for us and it's so fun, but it's also a great learning experience for us too. So mm-hmm. we're so appreciative. And now we want you to tell us everything that's wrong with our generation.
I know. He's like, I don't like being behind the scenes.
Yeah. Now let's put you on the hot seat.
Oh, great.
You're really going to be put on blast now. Tell our generation what you have noticed about Gen Z that's bothersome.
Okay, so you both know that I have kids that are also Gen Z.
Yes.
And I look at them, I look at you guys, and you know, you have to say, oh, just stay quiet on this, stay quiet on this, right?
Well, so now's your time. Unburden yourself.
You know, when I look at my kids, okay, they're both in college, and I look at them, they turn to us for advice, but some of that advice, like, for instance, bills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you submit a bill? You know, in my generation, it was you write out a check, mm-hmm. you put a bill back in the mail, put a stamp on it and mail it. And they're like, what do we do? How do we pay bills now? Or the biggest thing, how do I write a check? Because people still accept checks and money orders.
Sure do.
You need to know how to fill out a check.
Yep.
Back in my day, There I go. We had a class called Home Ec, where we learned how to write a check. We learned how to pay bills. We learned how to cook.
Yeah.
I actually became one of the better cooks in the class. So.
I believe that about you, actually. I believe it.
So that was a lot of fun. That's what I see. And I don't want to say it's a lazy generation, but...
Thank you.
But I see some things where it's like, come on, you know, you got the momentum. Do it. You know, put yourself out there. I see it in you. So go with it. You know, put your ideas forward. You're smart enough. Get your ideas out there.
It really is. I think the disconnect that I've noticed is the advocacy component, mm-hmm. because people are not learning those soft skills, mm-hmm. like advocating for yourself or communication or things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
So then it's like, yes, we have these ideas. We have the bandwidth and mm-hmm. the energy to do something really cool. We just don't have the tools necessarily to put forth those ideas, like you said.
Yeah.
So, and I think part of that is because of things like home mm-hmm. economics that people deem unworthy of their time or unworthy of taking up school time. But then it's like, okay, now how do you write a check? How do you cook dinner? Mm-hmm. How do you do all this? I mean, you learn so much from things like that, that if you don't have a parent in your life that dedicates the time to teaching how are you ever going to learn?
Yeah.
So that kind of goes back to me with podcasting. Like when you guys come in, when you first came in, I trained you how to do that.
Yeah.
You guys were unaware of, you know, what do we need to do? How do we set this up? And I created like a template for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you create a podcast or broadcast. And that's what I love about this. You guys are Gen Z, I'm Gen X, but I love teaching Gen Z or millennials or even Gen Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy that because you guys are our future.
Yeah.
And whatever knowledge I have to pass on to you, how to make a better product, that's what I want to do.
And I think
that's what I believe
it does
in.
Make such a big difference when there is someone like yourself where you're mm-hmm. willing to be a teacher and pass along the knowledge without judgment of like, if I came to you and was like, Chris, how do I write a check? I know that you would help me. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be like, oh my God, you know, I mean, maybe you'd make fun of me a little, but like, but it, as opposed to where it's like, oh my gosh, you don't know how to write a check. Are you dumb? Like that kind of thing.
That's so funny because you and I just had this conversation about taxes.
Filling out tax forms.
It was tax season and I was saying, you know, I never learned how to do my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one to teach this man to fish because pretty much I wrote my taxes in and send them to somebody to help me fill them out.
Mm-hmm.
And no one really ever taught me how to discern the information that's there, the difference between all the different forms. I mean, even when we had one of our guests on talking about finance, I'm asking like, what's a W-9?
Right.
What's an I-9? What are all these things? Yeah. I don't know what any of this means, you know?
But back when I was your age, I didn't know anything about taxes. My parents helped me figure that out.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to teach my kids, but, you know, we did it with pen and paper. We had the form that we filled out, and now you can do it all online.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have to say that I did my kids' taxes this year, unfortunately, but they kind of understood that it was actually easier than what it looks like.
That's fair.
That's fair. Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking a little bit about things that are maybe roadblocks for Gen Z, but what are some things that you've noticed that are inspirational about our generation?
Oh, I tell you, I am learning a lot from Gen Z and millennials also because with AI coming up and the way new programs are being introduced to us, we have people here in the office that are much younger than me. But they're teaching me because I, in the radio industry, I learned how to splice tape to edit. And what that means is cutting magnetic tape and taping it back together for air. And right now we have everything digital. We record on a digital computer, everything. Even though I learned how to do that, I now have people here who are teaching me these new little tips and tricks. It's like, oh, this is fascinating.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
I love learning. And right now I'm learning video editing.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done video editing. And I'm having a ball. So Gen Z is helping me and millennials to keep up with the times.
And I love that because, you know, I'm just saying you're a great teacher for young people, but then you're also willing to be
a
great student too.
Yeah.
And you know, adapt to the new technologies and be willing to learn new things.
Yeah. I mean, I think too, when we're talking about like, because the next question we're going to ask you is what are some things that bother you about your generation?
I think one of
the things for me is that it's frustrating to feel like, because I am somebody who's of the opinion that I can learn from anyone, whether that's what to do, what not to do, how to do something better, more efficiently. I think I can learn from anybody. I think there are a lot of people in your generation and older generations who don't feel like they can learn from younger generations just because they have like the wisdom of respecting their elders and all of this stuff, you know, where I think that should be held true.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, it's like, okay, but also there are a lot of different things that different generations have. It's all about different experiences and perspectives because they're all important.
So let me start with the boomers first. Okay. So if I look at the boomers, sometimes they're giving me outdated advice, right?
Right.
And it doesn't always help, but I wouldn't have gotten to where I am without the boomers, the bosses in front of me, because they taught me so much. And yes, back then I was sitting there going, No, this will never work. That was my mentality, right? So when I finally get to this age, I'm like, oh, it makes sense now. It all comes together. And it'll probably hit you guys as well and anybody listening to this. It's eventually going to hit you. Looking at Gen X, keeping up with the times. I love learning about digital technology just so I know where you guys are coming from. Also with Gen X, some Gen Xers don't want to change.
Yeah.
They need to move into the times. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were just talking about this as well. There's a business owner who refuses to go digital even in the year of 2026 and is still doing everything analog. I mean, the only digital component that they have at this business is email. And that's all. Yeah. Everything else, it's like paper records, paper finances, like all of this stuff. I mean, you lose one document and where are you?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely tough, I think.
Yeah. The resistance to change. That's definitely mine.
For sure. What are some things from your generation that you think that our generation should be inspired by?
I think you should always listen to your elders. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. Just take the advice of Gen Xers, millennials.
Yeah.
Social media is a big thing for you guys. Mm-hmm. And of course, we live by social media now. Don't let it run your life. Everything on social media, half of it is true.
Yeah.
Don't spend a lot of time on social media. I see my kids spending a lot of time on social media. Don't let it affect your life. Don't let it run your life.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk a lot about bridging generational gaps. And not only do we want to know what you think that our generation can do better to bridge the generational gap, but what do you think that your generation can also do better to foster this connection and understanding from these different perspectives?
Listening to your generation, because as I said before, you guys are the future and you're learning a lot of things that we didn't necessarily learn in school ourselves. There are classes that I know that my kids are taking or that you guys grew up with in college. I wish I had that opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. It makes me want to go back to college just so I can learn that. I've actually looked at online classes saying, I'm intrigued by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to take that.
100%. Know,
because I always want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. That's great advice.
And I mean, I think too, just making sure that we can always have that understanding, right? Like listen with an open heart rather than listen to respond or to debate or rebut. I think just making sure that you are actually trying to find something that could be helpful from that other perspective.
Yeah, I think that's true for both sides.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I think your generation definitely needs to tell older generations, thank you.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yes. The appreciation component for sure.
I don't see enough of that. You don't hear it enough, but I know you're thanking me.
Yeah.
Like for you guys learning this podcasting thing, when you guys do well, I know you're doing well. I feel good about it. And it's just like, I see that as a thank you. Thank you for
helping. Well, and it's funny,
us.
We do, I'm thinking about this now, you and I, every single time we leave the studio, the last thing we say to Chris is, thanks so much, Chris, bye.
Yeah, yeah.
And every single time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's just like, even if it's just a quick little appreciation, you know, you're doing that extra little step to show the people that are influencing you and helping you that you care and you see it.
Yeah.
And it's even the recognition goes a long way. So, Chris, do you have any burning questions for us now that we've asked
questions? I know we're going way over time here. No, I do not have any burning questions.
There
for
should
you
be
guys.
No time limit on these divas.
I should say that you guys are awesome and fun to work with, as well as all the other VAU that's Voices Around Us podcast. You guys just are amazing. Yeah.
Oh,
you guys have learned so much and I appreciate that.
Oh, Chris.
It makes my job a lot easier.
Oh, man, ditto. You have really helped us to grow, not only with just podcasting, but also just with our initiative of who we're reaching out to and the types of conversations that we're having. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, the appreciation is mutual. Like, we are so appreciative for all of it. You know, we always have to do something kind of fun with you, especially that you're on the show, which is a rare occasion. So before we get to our fun little advice in Roman Empire segments, we want to quickly quiz you.
Oh, no. I didn't know a speed run quiz.
Take it away, Libby.
Okay. So we pulled some Gen Z slang for you. And I tried to find some that you didn't know because I know you know the sleigh. the on main, as we've taught you, touching grass. So I tried to find some others.
Yeah, we try to keep Chris informed.
And Merriam-Webster does have a slang dictionary, so that's where these definitions are from. Okay, so to
official
begin.
Official definition, by the way.
Yes. So to begin, mogging.
I've never heard of that one.
If you guys could see Chris's face, I wish this was a video right now.
Mogging?
Mogging. Try to guess. Any guess?
I'll let you guys tell me that one.
Okay, so this is from the definition, to look or perform far better than someone else.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Next one, clinker.
Something that's bad?
Close, yes. Something in particular that's bad. You got the derogatory part.
TV show that's bad?
Close,
that's,
yeah.
That's
so it's a derogatory term for robots and AI.
Oh, okay. I guess I haven't learned that one yet.
Well, you've probably heard like AI slop if people will post that and different things or whatever. But sometimes, you know, like we'll say clanker about different things like that.
Well, I know I had to stop you in one broadcast and ask you what brain rot was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Classic. Yeah. Classic.
Let's see. Ratioed.
Singled out of, I don't know.
So this one is to get considerably more negative than positive responses on a social media post or more general.
Okay.
So your ratio is off.
I think it's really funny that Chris specifically said to us before this episode, don't put me on the spot. And then we went, oh, okay, we'll give you a quiz where we put you exactly on the spot.
I sound really stupid.
Hey, actually, the words that we're saying are incredibly stupid.
Okay,
so
right.
I think you're okay.
Okay, I'm going to do one more for you. This one, chopped.
It sounds like you're getting rid of something.
That's fair, I would say.
Yeah.
You're along the right line. This kind
like
of pertains to a person.
I watched the
like from the show.
Yeah, like the chopping block. This is an unattractive or undesirable person.
Oh, okay.
And my honorable mention to this one is a chopplegänger,
which is
like the worst looking version of someone.
I know, that's good. I always say like, you know, like Mario and Wario from the Mario games.
Mm-hmm.
I always say like if someone's like the chopplegänger, they're actually the Wario. To that person, which I think is funny. I think give the last one on the list because I think he could get that one.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Situationship.
Is it something between a friendship and a relationship?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that's perfect.
Yeah, you got it.
I may have heard of that one.
Defined as when you're more than friends but less than official.
That was exactly perfect.
I would say it's usually toxic as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Not a great situation.
Most situationships are toxic, yes.
Hey,
but...
I've learned mid, mukbang, and all that. These are the things I learned on this show.
You got
show.
Some new ones now to add to your vernacular.
We're keeping Chris fed one Gen Z slang term at a time. But now to get down to the actual real meat of what we invited you on for. Chris, please give any advice that you have for our Gen Z listeners.
I think I already did.
True.
So, yeah, if you're just have a plan, stay with it, be aggressive with your plan. Like, for example, when I was growing up in broadcasting, I didn't just tell somebody that, hey, I want to do this show. I actually went the other step, I went a step further. And I made a demo and I had a plan drawn up. This is how I'm going to do the show. This is where I'm going to take it. That's some advice from a broadcasting aspect. But I guess you could relate that to anything.
Yeah.
You know, just have your plan ready. The other thing, social media, you know, don't let it ruin your life. Don't let it be your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely don't let it dictate your life.
And touch grass.
Yes.
Yes.
Touch grass. All right, Libby, what is your advice today?
My advice today, I've been thinking a lot about how fast we're always kind of wishing away our life. You're always looking to meet the next goal, the next milestone, you know, to the weekend, to next weekend, whatever the plan is. And my advice is to just be more present. Obviously, I struggle with that myself, whether that's, you know, putting your phone down or just, you know, trying to live in the moment and be appreciative for what we have and what we're doing. I know it's scary to be in your 20s and trying to get it all figured out, but I think we can all appreciate the time rather than wish it away, because I think we'll all look back at this very fondly, even though it's hard now.
Definitely. I love that. That's awesome.
What's yours?
I would say, you know, I think our generation has we talk about buzzwords. We throw around emotional intelligence a lot as a buzzword. But I think the true root of emotional intelligence is when we're looking at, you know, how to navigate situations with tact and how to evaluate our own emotions and truly evaluate them for what they are. So a lot of people in our generation can tell you what we're feeling, why we're feeling it, and probably what we should do about it. But I think when we are overly emotionally intelligent or that kind of takes away the intelligence component. It's like when we're just like emotionally justifying, mm-hmm. right? It takes away the emotional processing. I would say my advice for people of our generation is to make sure that you're actually taking the time to sit with your feelings, understand your feelings, because it's not just about understanding and being able to rationalize what you're feeling. It's about moving through it in a way that is a sustainable fix and not just a Band-Aid for a gun wound. You know, mm-hmm. we got to make sure that we're actually evaluating how we can best move forward and not just trying to overly rationalize and explain away feelings and then just quickly moving on to the next thing. And you didn't think we'd leave without a Roman Empire.
No way. I'm really excited to hear Chris's Roman Empire today. He's listened to so many of ours.
I know.
You're making me do one?
Well, of course.
I usually share one after we're done recording.
Yes, yes. This is true. We so do usually ask. But now you're on the air, on the spot. Let's hear your Roman Empire.
Okay. This is really going to show my age. No, not really. No, because, okay, here's the story. A couple of weeks ago, a new podcast that we're doing, we went out, my assistant and I, we went out and we were collecting bird sounds. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was right around the America's biggest week in birding, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I went out with the microphone and my assistant did the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then we interviewed somebody and they told us about this new app called Merlin. You can turn it on, you hit record, and it records these bird sounds, and it automatically tells you, AI tells you what bird that was.
Oh.
Yes. Whoa. It'll show you a picture of the bird, and if you want to know more about that bird, you click on it. It'll show you how many calls that and songs that that bird has.
Wow.
So now I am addicted to this. So when I'm out running or walking, I will stop. If I hear a bird that I don't know, I will turn on my Merlin and say, I didn't know that that's what that bird sounded
really
like.
Interesting. Yeah.
That's cool. So, are you a birder?
I don't want to officially say that yes yet, but my wife.
You're into light birding.
No, I've also got my wife in on this too, because we now have a bird feeder with a camera on it.
Yes.
So her camera.
Is it like the little birdie? I got one of those for my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves
the birds,
that thing.
We have the birds come up now, and the AI will tell us, oh, that's an oriole. Oh, that's a female cardinal. Oh, that's a, you know.
It's like they're part of the family with that
so
little
funny.
Camera.
It's so,
so
funny.
Fun.
But I'm learning a lot from that just because of a podcast.
Yeah.
Just kind of like
it.
What I'm learning from your
See,
podcast.
Guys,
I've learned so much from your podcast.
Podcasting is important.
Podcasting is so important. WGT has such good
educational
components. So, yes. We love it.
So that's my Roman
I love
Empire.
It. That's Yay. Fantastic. Libby, why don't you share yours?
Okay, my Roman Empire. I am turning 25 this month, and as I have been making birthday plans, I've been reflecting on a lot of my childhood birthdays. I've talked on this show before about how crafty my mom is, and so I've just
queen.
Been thinking about all of the really elaborate birthday parties she threw me as a kid. And the one that I want to highlight was for, I want to say, my first grade birthday party. She held like a whole fashion show. She had booked a venue, got all of these clothes for us, me and my friends, put us, you know, in these cute outfits, took fun photos for us. We had karaoke.
You're kidding.
We painted our nails. Like, it was just the epitome of girlhood. It was all themed out to that theme, and I just love it. And like now as an adult, it's like I wish that my parties were still that fun and simple and
that
special.
Is so sweet. And of course she would do that. Like, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah,
but I just can't even imagine like what a core memory you formed from
yeah,
that party.
There's so many, like all of my childhood birthday parties were like that, just super on theme, super elaborate.
That is so,
so
sweet. That is so sweet. Mine is kind of twofold, but about the same thing. So I went to the Women's Leadership Summit recently, and the keynote speaker was Elise Ahrens, who was the business partner of Kate Spade. So she talks a lot now about her experience with Kate and starting the business. They actually had two other partners, Kate's husband, Andy Spade, and then their other partner, Pamela, who they all started the business together. You know, she went through her whole story about the struggle of starting the business and how it was not at all glamorous in the beginning. I mean, all of the key stuff that you hear from business owners and growing into a bigger brand and the partnerships and the business deals and all this stuff. But then it's so interesting because they actually decided to sell Kate Spade. And I don't know that a lot of people know this, that they sold Kate Spade to another company. And then Kate and Elise both decided to just take some time off of being business owners and be moms and get really involved in their children's lives. But then when they were really getting that itch to just do something together again, another business venture, they got the blessing from their other two business partners to start something new. And they started this clothing brand, Frances Valentine. And we all know Kate Spade is more the accessories and handbags and all of this stuff. Frances Valentine has some of the accessories as well, but then it also is more into the look of vintage clothing. Mm-hmm. And it's a really incredible brand. But if for those of you who do not know the behind the scenes, Kate Spade passed away a little short of a decade ago. And she talks very openly, Elise talks very openly about how her experience being Kate's best friend and then her what her life looked like before and then after Kate's passing. But it just what she left us with was this advice of cherish every moment and hold your friends so close. Mm-hmm. She talked a lot about how from the beginning, Kate's partner, Andy Spade, was very, very involved in the business and the financial side, but they never made her feel like she was not also a part of the family. And they always really encouraged her to have that strong connection and that strong friendship. And it just is so beautiful to hear about their relationship, but then too, the way that she continues Kate's legacy through Frances Valentine and through her book, We Might Just Make It After All, inspired by Mary Tyler Moore and their love for the Mary Tyler Moore Show. But it is just a really, really beautiful story. And I think that I am feeling inspired by the don't forget to tell people you appreciate them. Mm-hmm. And hold your friends close and be so close with the people around you because you never know what can happen. And we were talking earlier about making plans, but mm-hmm. you know, things can change in an instant. Yeah. So just make your plan, hold your people close, and then be ready to roll with the punches as they come. Yeah. So it was a really beautiful and moving speech. And then on that, it kind of made me just really grateful for you and for our friendship. And I mean, when we think about, you know, all these duos and all this stuff, like she's sitting there talking about, you know, she started a business with her best friend. And I'm like, man, I would do everything with my best friend if I could. Like, it's
you guys,
just...
she's trying to make me cry.
No, I'm like, I cried like cry four times. I'm crying on Maine. No, but seriously, like it's just so, holding your friends close is so important.
That's such a beautiful story. So that's and then as you were telling it, I was like, oh my gosh, is that us?
It's us. I know. Oh, that's why I was like panic texting Libby throughout the keynote speech today being like, hey, love you. But yeah, it's always so beautiful. And I'm so grateful that we've gotten to do this podcast together. I'm so grateful to be able to work with Chris and learn from Chris.
You're welcome.
And I know you are too, Libby. Yeah. And just we're grateful for you guys for listening and tuning into the show, for supporting WGTE, mm-hmm. for supporting voices around us. We're going to be taking a break off the air for a couple of months, but we are excited to continue learning about our generation, bridging the gap between other generations, and meeting some cool young professionals in our region doing some cool stuff.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it better. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. We want to thank our guest on today's show, the incomparable Chris Pfeiffer. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is also the amazing Chris Pfeiffer.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcasts.
Bye, besties.
WGTE. Voices around us.